just want to say again publicly how much I love the Bible and these stories. And this story is just wonderful, the story of the angel Gabriel visiting Mary, 14, 15, 16, wherever she was, this poor little non-famous little girl gets this visitation from the angel Gabriel, which stands in the presence of God, he had told Zechariah. So we're going to be at Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. And I just want us to, I'm going to have the passage up here, but if you have a Bible, get it open. And I just want to, just in reading the passage, I want to savor this amazing encounter. We're talking prophecies to Abram, 2,000 years old, to Adam. There was, you know, the serpent's going to bruise his heel and he will crush the head of the enemy. I mean, we've got 4,000-year-old, 2,000-year-old, 700-year-old prophecies that are culminating on this moment right here. This poor little girl in this little village, she's engaged to be married. She's a humble girl. We don't have a ton of information about her. But think about this interaction that happens one day. It's amazing. Verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, this place of can anything good come from it, a nondescript, rough place. And to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. What, I don't know, I want the video on that deal. What was her expression? Where was she? What time of the day was it? You know, how did she respond? I doubt she had angel visitations happening on a regular basis. But here comes these immediate words, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled is what we get. And the Greek there is, I mean, she's seriously emotionally, physically disturbed by what's happening here in this moment. And she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be since she'd never had one like it. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you'll bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, the very name that Gabriel gave to Joseph in Matthew. He had visited him and said, give him the name Jesus, because he'll save people from their sins. And so they both get the name Joshua, the one who saves. Verse 32, and he will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High, meaning he's God. And the Lord God will give him, this man, the throne of his father David, which had been prophesied with hundreds of prophecies. There would be one who would reign. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's a power-packed sentence, or a couple sentences, in 32 and 33. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is said to this little poor girl, a virgin girl. I tell you, when Amy and I have a baby, you're nervous anyway because you love every baby. You're nervous about what that baby's going to do and what it's, you know, just that it be alive and that it be well. Can you imagine the glorious pressure that would have seemingly come on her by you're carrying the chosen one. You're carrying the one who will rule, who's been prophesied for centuries. Israel did not have the throne. They were ruled over by other people. And all of a sudden, here you go, this angel says that a king is going to be born to this little poor girl. Mary said to the angel in verse 34, how will this be since I am a virgin? This is a different response than Zechariah, who said, how can I be for sure? How can I know for sure this? She says, how will this be? How are you going to work this out since I am a virgin? Verse 35, the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born in you will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age and barren womb, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 37, and here's what I want you to hone in on, if you would. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. My challenge to you on this Christmas 2014, besides continue to worship Jesus, continue to go deep in him, continue to have fellowship, be a disciple, take the mission out. I want to challenge you here on this Christmas about this issue of our faith. More often than not, the possible determines the parameters of our faith. We determine what we'll believe for by what we intellectually think is possible. We do the math, we think things out, and then we determine what is possible, and then we set our prayers and our faith toward these things. What's interesting about this story and this whole drama that unfolds on planet Earth is that Mary basically conceives and births Jesus in the context of the impossible. And I know that everyone in this room has something that's impossible. It's in your marriage. It's in your relationships. It may be for your salvation. It may be your sin addiction. It may be your finance. Whatever it is, you've got something that is beyond your means of accomplishing. That would be called the realm of the impossible. This story of Jesus being born, this great visitation, Yahweh takes on flesh and is manifested on planet Earth to begin a new order of things. The new covenant is all birthed in the context of the impossible. Number one, with no help or effort of man, she will impossibly, Mary, be with a child. No normal physiological deal of how to get this done, a virgin womb is going to be with child. That's impossible. Number two, though young and poor and unknown, she receives the impossible news that she has the favor of God on her. Highly favored one. You that have favor. Here she is in this rascal village, you know, an unknown young little girl now put in controversy because she's pregnant without being married. And she's in this situation and what God calls her is favored. You're favored. You found favor with God. And this is an impossible declaration over the qualifications of this woman. And number three, the unique baby in her is going to be a God-man whose kingdom will rule eternally and everywhere. The whole situation is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. You got a virgin who's got nothing. Doesn't look like there's favor around her, probably her folks and how she grew up. And all of a sudden, God's saying, you're going to conceive and have a baby. Your favor, the favor of God is upon you. And actually, you're going to birth forth the one who will manifest the rule of God on kingdom earth. There she sits, I bet, troubled, greatly troubled is what the Bible says, and probably stunned and thinking about her unqualifications, her unqualified state that she's in. This relates to us, body of Christ. In many ways, we are so like her. We are barren and 100% incapable of having Christ in us. It's impossible. It's impossible for that to happen in our lives. Yet Colossians 1:27 says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of his glory and of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mary was the first Christ carrier. You guys and I are now a continuation of the carrying of Christ on planet Earth. In such a lost, barren, impossible state out of Adam, sinners, the Lord comes and does a miraculous thing in us, and the Christ is literally put inside us. Two, we have no qualification that would merit our receiving the label favored one, yet that is what he calls us. And I wonder how you think about yourself, and I wonder most importantly what you think God thinks about you. I would bet all the money that I have that most of you think that God is frustrated with you on a regular basis. That he's rubbing his hands and like, when can I get this rascal to do what I want him to do? When I tell you this, I believe that God thinks of you in a favored way. I think you're the favorite of God, you're blessed of God, and it's a shocking thing. The angels will bring this information and say it loudly to shepherds in a field who were the looked-downed ones in that area. Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those upon whom he is pleased, or in the NIV, upon whom his favor rests. Basically, these angels are saying, the favor of God rests on mankind now because God is coming after them. I tell you, it's something else to begin to think of yourself not as a rotten, stinking, dirty sinner who's trying to meet the standard of God, but to think of yourself as the favored, blessed one of God. I'm his favorite. He loves me. And every now and then, I struggle with sin while I'm still being sanctified. Those are two different thought patterns within your life. It's impossible for us to think that way about ourselves without the grace of God. And number three, we are wholly unable to be the carriers of the presence of the King and His kingdom, resulting in His rule manifesting everywhere. And that's what we are. We're not just ones that get Christ in us and now I'm saved. We're not just ones that are favored of God and He's working around us. He's called us to be His holy partners in birthing forth Christ within our neighborhoods and cities and within the nations. That's impossible. We're just a selfish bunch of people that are trying to survive every week, you know, weak. And then He says to us through a prophecy, through Jesus to Peter in Matthew 16, I tell you, you're Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of faith, and anyone who believes in me, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever you, I wish you could circle, I could circle and underline the word you. God has determined that there are things, He can do anything, but there are many things He won't do without our partnership. You and I are the ones that are to extend the kingdom of God. We take the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. We're to see the kingdom of God extended into our life, into our money decisions, into our sexuality, into everything. The kingdom of God is to come, and He's to have a reign that's thorough and eternal and fills us fully. Well, that seems impossible to rebels, but it is possible because it's what the Lord has said to us. The Holy Spirit, you see, how is the impossible possible in our lives? How is it possible? Well, it's like what is said in Luke 1:35. The angel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born in you will be called holy, the Son of God. The only way that the impossible is possible in all of us that are so limited is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in line with the Word of God is what manifests the impossible. This has always been the truth. This is the law within all that we live in, all that is the heavens and the earth. God made everything in alignment with speaking the Word of God and executing the power of the Spirit, and it manifested everything we see. That's how things happen. When the Holy Spirit is joined with the Word of God, bam, power released. It happened at creation. It happened in prophets' lives. It happened in great defeats of armies and lions and various things all through your Old Testament. And then Jesus is birthed in the same way. The Holy Spirit comes and fulfills centuries of prophecies within the womb of a young little girl. I tell you, this is the only way the impossible happens. It's the only way the impossible happens. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's not asking you to do the impossible. He's saying He'll do the impossible through you if you will make yourself available. This is the problem. The problem's never that we don't have enough resource. He didn't ask us to have resource. He asked us to have a womb of faith that will receive what He's doing. How did Mary respond to this? How do we do this? Luke 1:38, Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. There's the response. Please meditate on this. This is her response to these crazy things that are said about her. Let it be to me. I'm your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. And you know what she did then? She provided literally a womb of faith, which could be the atmosphere wherein the Spirit and the Word would accomplish the impossible. God's Spirit and Word are wanting to work all the time. They're active and energetic, but it really happens within the womb of faith. Jesus will constantly say as He brings His ministry, I can heal you. Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can do this? He'll say to the blind men, he'll come, heal me, heal me. He'll say, do you believe that I can do this? Listen, He doesn't need any work, but He needs men and women to receive His word and to trust upon Him with all of their hearts and with no reserve. And they would say yes, and then boom, here would come the faith. He goes in Mark 6 to His own hometown, to Nazareth, and it says He could do very few miracles there because of what, everyone? Their unbelief. There was no womb of faith within which Jesus, the Word of God, could move by the Spirit of God and begin to release the captives. I wish it was just Spirit and Word, and they would just independently do stuff in spite of us, but God has asked for our partnership. And that partnership is that we provide our hearts to become that place where the Spirit of God begins to do the impossible within your lives. I wonder what's going on with you. I wonder where you're at the end of this year and as you're beginning to face a new year. I'm wondering this morning if you think, and there are people in this room that think it's impossible for me to get over that addictive sin I keep walking in. Listen, nothing is impossible with God. Gabriel will bring that message from the throne. Nothing is impossible. I want to confess before you all, I am pretty convinced that there are some impossible things to happen in me and around me. Yesterday, I'm so committed to evangelism. I got some people in my sights. I'm having fun sharing the gospel. But yesterday, for about a 2.5 hour span, I felt despair in my heart as I drove again to share the gospel, and 15 cars showed up at the store, and I couldn't get in there to share the gospel with these guys. I've been trying to get in there, and I began to hear the enemy. No one's ever going to get saved again. You're wasting your time. They don't even care. They're so busy. I'm praying for this one neighbor, and I saw him doing stuff. I'm like, he doesn't care. He doesn't care if I go over there and interrupt him. Anybody hearing these voices? And I started to feel infertile. I started to feel barrenness. And there I was, and I was just like, oh my gosh, it's impossible that people are going to be born again and even care about our message. But praise God, the Spirit kept coming after me. I repented for embracing that kind of thinking, for doing the math in my mind, and I heard the angel's word from the throne of God. There is nothing impossible with God. There's nothing impossible with God. Terry sang and spoke about Mark 9, where the man has the son who's in bad shape. If you can, Jesus says, if you can. And you know what he says? Everything is possible for who? The ones who read their Bible a lot? The ones who go to church? No, what? For the ones who believe. Everything is possible for him who believes. I tell you, he's looking for a womb of faith within which the Spirit and the Word can birth forth the impossible within our lives. There's nothing too hard in your life that God cannot do a miracle and change. If you're here this morning and you're not born again, you're not born again, I'm telling you, he can do a miracle. If you'll simply believe, Jesus did all the work. He did the work. He's not looking for you to change yourself. He's looking for you to surrender yourself and say, come and transform me that I might be born again. Trust upon Christ. The people with the addictive sins, you know them and they're haunting you. It may be present sin that was on you even last night or I don't know when. It may be sins from 10 years ago that the devil keeps hammering you about. Anybody heard that ugly voice? I'm telling you, nothing's impossible. He can remove that shame and has removed it by the blood of Jesus. I was reading a story last night about a lady named Lisa Moeller, and she is a woman who's ministering now, but she was abused when she was 12 years old by a neighbor, and it was a bad deal, and it set the trajectory of her life and her mind to thinking funky to where she felt she was a homosexual. She was just made that way, and she went down that path. But in the midst of it, there had been some religious stuff and church stuff, and so there was this silent cry within her heart praying for something to happen. People were trying to confront her about it, but she kept going after the lifestyle, feeling this attraction and that attraction. And she tells the story of there were some people praying for her. She was at a place of desperation on a trip to go get signatures for a gay pride deal that was going on. She stayed the night in a hotel, and she says, I do not know how to describe it, but I went to bed a homosexual. I had a visitation of the presence of God in the middle of the night, and I woke up healed. A woman of God that was fully full of all that a woman should desire, and she's been changed ever since. The Spirit of God did the impossible. Did the impossible. His Spirit and Word came and supernaturally changed the trajectory of that woman's life, and it can happen to you. I'm not going to sit here and sell you and tell you that if you'll have enough faith, nothing bad's going to happen to you. That's a lie. You're going to have trouble in this world. But what you can have is the sustaining presence of God and Word of God that can help you drive through every circumstance, seeing the impossible happening. The impossible may be changing your circumstance, but the impossible may be giving you the grace to bear your circumstances. That's what the impossible may be for you. You can let the Lord determine that. But I'm encouraging you this morning to think about where you are with the Word of God. Listen, here's what I did yesterday, some of the verses. I took Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in me will do what, everybody? Faithfully bring it to completion. When you get down about yourself and you're like, I'll never change, yes, go, that's right, I'll never change me. But this ain't about you. This is about the one who does the impossible, who's made a prophetic declaration over your life. He who began a good work will bring it into completion. You just take that word in and say, let it be to your servant just as you said. You're having trouble within your life? You take Romans 8:28, all right? He works all things to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. When you face trouble or any circumstance, all of them, it says, you face it with this. Let it be to your servant as you have said. This must work to my good. This must work to my good. I can't see it with my mind in the realm of possibility, but I'm not trusting in that. I'm trusting you to do the impossible. Because the Lord, all your troubles are actually open doors and opportunities for the glory of God. All of them are. They're not blockages. As we say all the time, they're not in the way. What, everybody? They're on the way. Your trouble's not in the way. It's on the way. As you trust him to fully do what he's called you to do. I pray for a room full of Marys. He didn't need a lot of qualification. He didn't need a lot of smarts out of you. He didn't need a lot of religious stuff out of you. He needs a heart of surrender. May it be to me as your word is said. I pray this morning. I pray at the end of this year as you face a new year that's going to be filled with blessing and trial and trouble in relationships. It's going to be an awesome, violent, stormy year coming before us. I'm asking that you prepare your heart on this Christmas to be a heart of faith, a heart that begins to believe according to what he said, not according to what you can figure out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would do a miracle within our hearts. Lord, we do not want to be Zechariah who said, how can I know for sure? And then was mute for 9 months. We want to be Mary who might say, how will this be? But at the end of the amazing proclamations you make over our life, may we say, may it be to your servant as you have said. I pray for a room full of people that are being assaulted by the enemy, mostly by the enemy to pull them out into their own strength. Would you break our habitual addiction of trusting in our own power and in man and in our jobs and in our money? God, break that habitual addiction to trust in everything but you. May you raise up a people who are not great in themselves, but are great at trusting a great God. Father, do a miracle in us. Set us free. Just before we sing this song, just in a moment of silence across this sanctuary here, I pray, would you just settle down in your heart? Picture Mary, young Nazarene, no reputation, but the favor of God comes and changes everything for her. And then see yourself in even a worse plight, knowing that God's not asking for your merit. He's bringing the merit to you. He's asking for your surrender and your faith. Offer up to him a heart and a womb of faith that says, do with me as you please. Fiat was that word in the Latin. Fiat, let it be done to me as you have said. Let there be a sweet surrender all over this room to the will of God. And it's a good will. Let's all stand, if you would. Now, Father, hear our hearts as we sing this song of joy. And we choose not despair and depression and complaining and grumbling and self-sufficiency. We choose Jesus today. We choose your word and we choose your Holy Spirit. Come and take us and bless us in Jesus' name.